I entitled the message, Why Do We Do This? Why do we do all these things? In Exodus chapter, the parashat for today is bo, which means go or come. Okay, and it contains the last three plagues. It contains Exodus 12, the last plague. It ends at the when the children of Israel are out of Egypt. Exodus 12 is a key chapter in the life of a Messianic Jew and Jewish people in general. On Exodus 12, verses 25 through 27 and 42, it says, When you come into the land which Adonai will give you, as he has promised, you are to keep this ceremony. The ceremony he's talking about there is the ceremony of the Passover. We call that the Seder. You are to keep this ceremony, the Seder. Verse 26. Now, when it happens that your children ask you, if you've had any children, you know they're going to ask. Let me say that again. If you've had any children, you understand that they're going to ask. And they're going to start asking some questions when they're real, real young. And sometimes the questions threaten you for a loop. You know, like, what is the meaning of life? I mean, I know they don't ask that. I'm just using that as an example. We're like, okay, how can you elucidate the meaning of life for a five-year-old? Well, they'll ask you. They'll ask you. Children are always going to ask. These kids right here, this 73-year-old child, asks. I have questions to the Lord all the time. So when your children... When it happens that they ask you, it doesn't even say that it's programmed. It says whenever that happens that they ask you, what does this mean to you? In other words, Dad, why are we doing this? What's the whole point of doing any of this? You can come to a Messianic congregation and be, if you come from Christianity, you're going to find that there are things we do that the others don't do. You're going to find that there's an emphasis on doing, which is not independent of the atonement of Messiah. We are not earning our salvation. It was given free. But because we're saved, now we're capable of listening to the Lord and being able to do something for Him. And that's the point. That's the point. Look, no wonder Yeshua's brother said, I will show you my faith by my works. You see, sometimes in this whole evangelism explosion and everything else, we emphasize that it's all by faith and it's all by grace. And unfortunately, I live in a world when everything's become so faith-based and so spiritual. And so, like she said, so much love. You know what? It's big time that we need to emphasize love. But because of love, we do. Because of love, we're going to do. If you don't do anything, pity us if we don't do anything. The preacher's here. Now here, the Lord said, they're going to ask you that question in verse 27. You are to say, here's the answer. Give this answer. It is the sacrifice of Adonai's Passover. Please note the word sacrifice in front of the Passover. Because it cost Yeshua everything. It cost him everything. Because he passed over the houses of Bnei Israel, the children of Israel in Egypt. When he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our household. The angel of death came, and whoever did not have the blood on the lintels of their posts died. Firstborn died. Listen, that's firstborn Israelis if they didn't obey. Let me just say that the Lord is totally just and fair. He said, this is what you need to do. You, the foreign born with you, the others with you, whomever will put the blood on the lintels of their posts, whether they understand it or not, whether they prayed about it or not, whether they're saved or not, if they put the blood there, they were spared. But those that didn't were not. This is a tremendous principle. So the people, when Moses said that the people, says the people bowed their heads and worshiped, which we don't do. We take it for granted. It's all an experience in the head. You walk to the altar and get it, and you just get it there. And there's like no price. There's no burden. Because I walk the aisle, I have a burden. And the way that we pay that burden, according to Paul, the sacrifice is the sacrifice of ourselves on behalf of the kingdom of heaven. We are able to do that because we have Yeshua the Messiah. Because you got Jesus, you can do it. Verse 42, it says, that same night is a night of vigil for Adonai. It's a vigil for Adonai. This same night is a vigil for Adonai. And for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. It's not over with yet. That's the background for what I'm fixing to speak about. Would you take note that Adonai often asks his people to process his words, which included that phrase I read for you. That phrase. What does this mean to you? What does it mean for you? Which is, by the way, a not rhetorical question. So what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Is this just another denomination? Is this another service? Are you coming because this is just, they had nice music. Well, that's a little bit self-serving. So let's just say, okay, you had really great music last week because John played videos. In today's Torah portion, the Lord asked, what does this ceremony mean to you? And then, at the beginning of 12, he commanded the children of Israel, saying, this month, this moon, this lunation shall be the beginning of months. In other words, the beginning of the year for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Why do we do this? I want to ask the question rhetorically. Does the response, does the attitude of the responder matter? Does the response matter and does the attitude of the responder matter? Okay, awesome. We got one person who answered yes. And the rest of you think about it. Well, of course it does. Of course it does. Adonai is always concerned about the heart of the matter. Adonai is always concerned about the heart of the matter. Whether it's keeping the calendar, which is of utmost importance to doing the things that he commanded us to do, or doing a Seder at home, or a Seder in the congregation, or attending Shabbat. We're asking Scripture to remember and do not forget. I preached a message called Remember and Do Not Forget. We are asked to internalize his word so we can give even to our own kids an answer. Mom and dad, those questions the children ask you are of utmost importance for them and for you. And the questions we don't ask around here. We seem to have gone just like Clinton said. Don't tell. Policy. Don't ask nothing, don't tell nothing. I preached a message, that message, remember and do not forget, August 8th of 2020. I want to quote myself so I don't preach it again. Here's what I said in August 8th of 2020. I wrote, quote, "The father told his children to be careful to remember and do not forget. For example, remember how Adonai your God led you all the way in the desert." We hear that in the book of Exodus all the time. In fact, in that day that I was speaking, that Torah portion for that day, he told them to remember specifically five times. Deuteronomy 7:18, 8:2, 8:18, 9:7, and 9:27. But then he doesn't just say remember, he also says do not forget, which is real apropos when you get to be about 70. I'm not talking about Alzheimer's. I'm talking about old age. You just don't remember every detail. In fact, he told him, do not forget four times. 5 plus 4 is 9. Deuteronomy 8:11, 8:14, 8:19, and 9:7. Does it seem to you, I asked that day, that Adonai really wants his children to keep something fresh in their minds? Here's how I summarized this on that day. In essence, what the Lord said was, first of all, remember where you came from. Remember your background. Remember where you were before. Remember for us that are come to Yeshua what it was like prior to Yeshua. Not to make a deal, big deal out of it. Oh, well, really, I was a real sinner. No, I was a mess. At the end of that time, I was looking to take my own life. Number two, remember your inheritance. We're not here laboring for nothing. We are here because we're going to inherit the kingdom of God in heaven. We got it now, but we're going to really inherit it in heaven. Number three, remember the way, Haderek. The way, the truth, the life. Remember Yeshua. Remember me. Oh, you have to remember the Lord. That was the thing he said on the Passover. Each time you do this, remember me. And number five, remember what I've said. Remember my word. In every generation, no exceptions, the obstinacy and willfulness of parents, I want to also apply this to husbands. Pardon me, if you don't like it, get up and leave right now. Now, I am fixing to squeeze you if you're a husband. No free rides for husbands around here. The willfulness of parents, especially husbands, has resulted in a great price paid by their family, the wife and the children. Now, I understand that sometimes the wife is a little willful too. I understand that the wife has some issues too. And if she is the one raising the kids, she has issues in this area too, because she's, after all, she's flesh. Really? After all, she was the one that Satan came to and tried to get her to convince him. But Mr. Wimp, Adam, was taking a nap, and he wasn't taking care of his duty, so the serpent came and talked to his wife, and she did it. And came over and gave to her husband. He should have just said, hang on a second. Wait a minute. We were commanded not to do that. Did you forget? At that point, he is the sovereign of the earth. He has the ability to pardon. You hear what I'm saying? He could have said, honey, that was wrong. She would have said, oh, maybe I didn't make it clear. Please forgive me. I forgive you and I pardon you. There would have been some other plot. Genesis 3 would have changed. But Mr. Wimp didn't do it. America is no exception. Millions upon millions of innocent unborn children have paid their life for their parents' promiscuity. The whole thing has to do with promiscuity. It's a sex thing. Come on now. Are you kidding me? It is. I'm a member of the generation that took off the bras, accepted every form of contraceptive, legalized abortion, hailed the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, totally ignoring their immoral behavior, smoked pot. I didn't particularly do this last one. Ate hashish and brownies. I tried pot once and I didn't like it. Marilyn, on the other hand, you can talk to her. I don't know what she said. Listen, if our children are at risk, we bear some responsibility. I'm speaking to husbands. Or I'm speaking to would-be husbands. I'd like to get all the husbands in the room. Just say, okay, here's how this goes. Bend over, stick it out, so I can take a 2x4 and beat the tar out of you, so you won't. I mean it. I want to ask the question, will our firstborn be required of us? Will our firstborn be required of us? Think what I'm asking. For Pharaoh and the people of Egypt in Parashat Bo, stubbornness, the number one thing you see, we've been reading about, Pharaoh was stubborn, and so were the people of Egypt. It resulted in the death of the firstborn. Let me quote for you from Exodus 4, 22 and 23. Quote, you are to say to Pharaoh, this is what Adonai says. Israel is my son. My firstborn son. So I have said to you, Pharaoh, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Here's what it says. This is before the plagues and all that. Behold, I will slay your son, even your firstborn son. This is before he had a chance to continue to be stubborn. This is before the 10 plagues. This is before all of that. God is fair. He's told us what we need to do. And now, you know, we want to put some let me just be nice. We want to put jelly on everything. It's sweet, you know. Our God is just. He warned even Pharaoh and Egypt that if you don't change your ways and attitude, your children will be required. Repent. Change your mind. Didn't happen. Pharaoh and Egypt refused. And exactly what God promised would happen did happen. In Exodus 12, on this parashah, 28 through 36. This type of stubbornness and willfulness is what the Bible calls iniquity. I preached that before. I only want to comment on it. This is the iniquity that Adonai says will be passed to our descendants, to the second, third, and fourth generation. What is it that is going to be passed? The sin? It is not what it says. It says the iniquity. What's going to be passed to our kids? Our iniquity, which is our willfulness. Our stubbornness will be passed. So people look at a son and sometimes say, just like your dad. They don't even look like him or anything like that. The father's about this big and the son is way big. And all this kind of thing. You're just like him. What are they talking about? They don't look the same. They sure act the same. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, which is coming up in the next few weeks. Then Adonai passed before Moses and proclaimed, Adonai, Adonai, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, showing mercy to 1,000 generations and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, but bringing the iniquity of the fathers, the willfulness, the obstinacy. I love that word. Obstinate. No, my way. Or the high way. And if it's the husband or the dad, they have the authority to enforce the willfulness on that unsuspecting family. By the way, you're warned. You can't sin in my congregation and not be warned. I want to ask you a question. Have you repented of any past willfulness? Have you yet come to the Lord and said, I was obstinate. I was selfish. I was willful. I wanted it my way. Oh no, it's forgotten now. We're old. We've forgotten things. Have you, well, some of you are old like me. So have you gone to the Lord and repented of willfulness when your parents, when you were young? Or are we just going to, well, I was young. Perhaps the reason you're having so much trouble with your kids right now has to do because you haven't gone to the Lord and say, I repent. I repent. I have more to say about that. Have you asked Yeshua to stop the visitation of iniquity, which is a form of death on your children and your children's children to four generations? If you notice that iniquity is rearing itself up in your house, in your walk with the Lord, you find yourself more and more selfish, more and more obstinate, more and more determined to do it your way or my way, the highway. I'm the king around here. I can take a time out now and say, if you need to leave, go ahead. If you notice this rearing up in your life, and maybe your parents are no longer available because they're dead. Or maybe your parents don't want to ask forgiveness. Then, I believe you can ask Yeshua to heal your inherited iniquities. And in doing so, you can stop the cycle, not only for you, for all you future generations. Let me just say that. Have you repented of the iniquities of your parents? Have you asked Yeshua to settle that matter? I tell you, when it does, you are free, like I sang today. I'm free to be a servant of the Lord. And you can say, my soul escaped like a bird, like the Bible says, out of the snare of the fowler. Because you're so good looking. Because you're so pretty. Because I walk the aisle. Because I'm considered to be a Messianic Jew. Because I'm a believer. Blah, 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 blah. There's only one reason. It's Yeshua. And we're talking about the Passover that took just place in this parish today. You can stop the cycle. And this is what's probably not been done. We can stop Roe v. Wade, but we need to stop the cycle of iniquity in our future generations. How do you know that? Adonai said he will show mercy to 1,000 generations. which includes ours. Let me say that if you resolve the self-will, the iniquity issue, you will be ready to bow. I'm not talking about Bo Jackson, but a good example, because he went. Climb walls if he needed to. You're ready to bow. You're ready to go. You're ready to go if you resolve that issue that is bidding. When we do this, our days will also be greeted with new trust born out of experience. Our hearts will rejoice in such deliverance, and we will be more ready than ever to follow our deliverer. Where are we going to go? Wherever you go, I'll go. And wherever you dwell, I dwell. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Oh, well, do you have anything? Do you have any balm of Gilead today? I have no balm of Gilead. I want to take all the men and put them there. Go on. Let's rise up. So let me answer the question that the Lord asked. Why do we do what we do? Why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing Shabbat? Why are we doing Passover Seders? Why are we keeping his calendars? Why are we worshiping him? Why are we obeying his festivals? Why are we loving one another? Because some of you are not lovable. Any more than I am. I'm not lovable at all. Okay? I'm not lovable. So you have to go to the Lord and say, you need to give me something for that guy. Ah, hallelujah. He'll give it. It should be as simple as saying, in my heart of hearts, repeat after me. In my heart of hearts, I want to love Adonai, my God, with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. We pray that, don't we? It's called the Ve'ahavta prayer. Even as Adonai kept guard over the blood-protected homes of the children of Israel on that first Passover night, because the angel of Adonai spared the houses that had the blood. In John 17, we see that Yeshua asked us to guard and keep the vigil of the Passover, just like he did in John 17. Is God's word a memorial forever, or is it finite? Is anything he said have an expiration date? Okay, no. It never expires. Adonai is forever, isn't he? So everything about him is forever. Get that. If you get nothing else today, Adonai is forever. Everything about him is forever. His word, everything about him is forever. So what kind of commitment do you have? Has an expiration date? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. My commitment to God should be like he is. Forever, my commitment should be forever too. Clearly, he commanded the annual Passover observance so that we people can reflect regularly upon all he has done on our behalf. In all our comings and goings, we're to remember Adonai. We're to rehearse and retell what he's done for us. Listen carefully. This is biblical. We're to remember Adonai. We're to rehearse and retell what he has done for us. And we are to relive the events of the great redemption. We are to relive the events of the great redemption. He has done for us and for our forefathers. You see, Yeshua is worthy to be remembered in everything that we do. I got 20 seconds and about this much of a biograph. And I'm going to break a record today. The verse in Exodus 12 stated, this year is for you. From another message, I'm quoting, we have been given our own personal gift of time. It happens to be eternal time. It happens to be his time. And we can really do something on his time. Look, this is his time. These are his, you are his people. This is holy time for holy people in a holy place. Holy convocation. It's what it says in Leviticus 23. So here's my conclusion. Something new can happen this season. Something new can happen this season. What do you mean? A new discovery, a new release, new learning opportunity, new relationships, a renewed sense of ourselves and an understanding of time. We are in blessed time. This year, we're moving into blessed time. It's not time as usual. Back yesterday, that was for Joe. Back then. This is for Joe right now. I can pick on Joe because he made a commitment to God to pray for me. So even if I offend him, he's still going to pray for me. And he has not failed on that commitment. I want you to know he hasn't failed. It's been since 1999. I'm hard to love, you know. Let me give you the words for this season. It is for you and for me. Okay. Repeat after me. This season is for you and for me. It's for all of us in Kol Simcha and for all believers around the world, but specifically for you and for me. Why do we do this? Summary, because deep in our hearts, we are committed to do anything concerning the Lord. Amen. Because deep in our hearts, we're committed to do anything concerning the Lord. Shabbat Shalom.